This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. And after more than a half century in business, the iconic Hilltop Steakhouse on Route 1 in Saugus is closing.
The restaurant is famous for its 70-foot cactus, its life-size fiberglass cows, Western-themed dining rooms, and of course, platefuls of thick steaks.
At its peak in the late 1980s, Hilltop was the nation's busiest and highest-grossing restaurant. Back then, it was serving about 2.4 million customers and making an estimated $27 million a year.
But the restaurant's management says it's seen a dramatic change in business volume over the past few years. It also blames changing demographics to increase competition and higher costs for its demise.
With us here in the studio to talk about Hilltop and the changing food industry and how that factors into this restaurant's departure is Corby Cummer. He's a James Beard award-winning food writer. He is also a senior editor at The Atlantic. Corby, thank you for coming in.
Thanks for asking me.
Corby, was this a place you ever went?
I went once. Yes, it was a place I went. When you pass that 70-foot sign year in and year out, or often every kind of couple of weeks, you have to go in there. You have to see what people are going for.
So for our listeners who have not had the experience of going in or even driving by it, paint us this visual sensory picture of that place.
It was a great family-run center. It was like an amusement park. There were plastic cows outside. I don't think there was ever a petting zoo, but the idea was kids could be happy here while you were waiting in line. And you gave, I remember, I think I was given one of the first walkie-talkies. Or I could be making that up, but they were very organized about managing lines because there were long lines.
So the walkie-talkie told you your table was ready. Is that how it works?
Yes, that's how it happens now at, for example, Legal Seafood, or they'll call you. But I remember thinking, wow, they really know how to manage traffic here. And then the traffic ceased, which is why they're closing. But you would go into various stagecoach stops like Sioux City.
Right.
And they would I can seat you in Sioux City or Dodge City. And you would go into these rooms and they all kind of looked the same and they all had brown formica and red, but there was something so cheerful and efficient and itself about it. It was unlike anything else.
Now, this closure has generated tons of headlines, and I want to note that even though we just threw out the phone number 3 minutes ago, we have tons of people on the phone who want to comment. But I noticed that one of the sub-headlines of this story said, sad but unsurprising. So I'm wondering if this felt inevitable to you in some way.
It didn't. So I think it's unsurprising in that I've read that they had an 11-acre parcel on Route 1. That's a huge amount of land. One thing that we were talking about a little before the show is, gosh, I pass it all the time. I always wondered, but it never occurred to me to really go in there. That's the problem. I think it hasn't occurred to a lot of people to go in there for a long time. I think functions kept it alive. And then the functions and that kind of business has moved elsewhere. The place I think it has moved is to family chains like Panera, the medium quick serve restaurants that specialize in keeping up with the trends, shall we say, in a way that's very acceptable on a wide scale. So Olive Garden, Cheesecake Factory. Plus, they have big corporate parents behind them, and Hilltop did not.
I noticed that one of the local news outlets that reported the closure said that cholesterol consciousness played a role in this demise. But, you know, the American diet still has a long way to go. And the last time I was at the Capitol Grill, it was packed.
Absolutely.
So how much do you think health concerns played into this, if at all?
Probably none at all. I think that's wishful thinking for we who think everyone should be eating lean fish and chicken
and
breast every night. No, I don't. There has been a very welcome decrease in soda sales. That's one thing. But I don't think red meat. I think there's still a very strong taste for it, and people associate it with going out.
Corby Cummer, we have so many people who want to talk about Hilltop that why don't we just go to the phones right away? We have Olga calling from Nashua, New Hampshire. And Olga, you had been to Hilltop?
Absolutely. When I moved here after college in the 70s, I was sharing with a person who briefed me before I got on the call that it was the icon in terms of dating. In other words, if you went out with someone and he took you to the Hilltop, you thought, okay, we're on the fast track here. This is it's just that kind of place. It was on the upper echelon of where guys took you when they really wanted to impress you.
That's a great memory. Olga, thank you very much.
And I think part of what made it good for dates was you could get a lot of beef for not very much money. And it was, you know, it was a luxury food. It still is a luxury food, and it was medium priced.
But even today, I was looking at the menu. A cup of soup is $1.95. A filet mignon is $19.99.
No, the prices were
good,
great.
Value.
I had this enormous plate of steak tips, which were quite good. I'd been told you have to have the steak tips. That's what I had. I think, though, that when you say Capital Grille was absolutely jam-packed, I think it's because people associate steak with something that is higher priced. They don't think of it as a bargain food.
Oh, that's interesting. Janet is also calling. She is from Hyde Park. And Janet, you were at the Hilltop recently?
I was at the Hilltop back, you know, in its heyday, and then also maybe about 6-7 years ago for a wedding. And by that point, they had converted a room into a chapel. It was absolutely lovely. It was a second wedding, so it was kind of a kitschy place to have it. And we had the minister there, and it was very ceremonial. And smack dab in the middle of the vows, we heard, "Mitchell, party of five, please divorce to the Ponderosa room." Set off those intercoms.
It was what it was.
And it just... it made the moment. I mean, particularly since it was a second wedding and a little more casual. It just, you know, we're still talking about it every time they have an anniversary.
So that's a wonderful family story, and I think people knew what they were getting into when they went there.
Exactly, exactly. Janet, thank you for that. I also want to go to a caller from Dedham, and this is Madeline. And Madeline, you also had been to the Hilltop. Madeline, are you with us?
Yes.
So you have been to the Hilltop Steakhouse. We're wondering what your memories are.
My memories are of the largesse of it. It was really fascinating to be there. Went a couple of times, and nostalgically speaking, and it's only nostalgically speaking because I don't remember other than the food was really delicious. But I went there with four generations of us. So I have very, very sweet and fond memories of being there with my grandmother and my father and my daughter and my husband. But we were four generations, and my father could get steak, and my grandmother, Nana, could get lobster pie, if I remember correctly, and I don't remember what I had. But we're not meat eaters, none of the family that's surviving. So I just drive by it, like I heard the other callers say, drive by it and think about that big cow. Where is that big cow going to go?
Saugus is thinking maybe it'll somehow go into a town park or the town hall. What I want is for that sign to stay no matter what. The way the Pepsi Cola plant opposite the Hudson, so when you're on the east side of New York, you see this iconic sign. Pepsi Cola plant is long gone. They're keeping the sign in front of a very fancy condo. That Hilltop sign has to stay.
Callers, we are at 1-800-909-9287. We're talking about the closure of the Hilltop Steakhouse. It is going to be shutting down for good later this month. We want to know what your memories are. And we're talking with Corby Kummer. He is a senior editor at The Atlantic. He's also a James Beard Award-winning food writer. And, you know, Corby, those big campy restaurants like the Hilltop, I mean, the Kowloon, which was also a Route 1 Saugus restaurant, gone. Prince Pizzeria out there has lasted. But that is sort of an endangered species. I mean, do you think that those have had their time and place, and that time and place has left?
I do. I think that the local, kitschy, completely characteristic folk culture places are going to have to be small if they're going to survive. They can't rely on that amount of that number of crowds. A place like Legal Seafoods is the model of incredibly smooth functioning, handle crowds, handle all kinds of parties. And they are so welcoming and inclusive, and they're great at it. But Hilltop was a lone player competing against the big guys like Cheesecake Factory that can handle big parties. Ruth's Chris, all of these well-funded corporate parents, that's where the survival is.
By the way, I want to interject here and mention that we had a fundraiser at WBUR a week ago, and that fundraising number is so ingrained in my brain that I just threw out the fundraising number. So let me tell you what to call if you want to talk about Hilltop, which is 1-800-423-8255. That's also 1-800-423-TALK. Call us here at Radio Boston if you have Hilltop memories that you want to share. And now we're going to George, who is calling from Beverly. And George, thanks for calling us. What do you remember about Hilltop?
Well, my wife and I both work in the city and live in Beverly, and we drove by many times. She was vegetarian for 20 years.
Vegetarian?
And when vegetarian, okay. When she was pregnant, she said, "Pull over, I want a steak." I ordered a filet. she ordered the filet, I ordered the salad, figuring it was going to be my dinner, and she's been eating meat ever since.
The Hilltop converted her or brought her back.
Right.
That's wonderful, George. Thank you. We also have Linda calling from Lexington. And Linda, you went there in the 80s when you were a student in Boston?
Yes, that was the place to go where you could get enough food to feed the guys and you could still afford it for your special night out. But then we graduated. My husband's boss was always talking about this wonderful steakhouse, Jafrida's. And we would argue, no, it can't be as good as Hilltop. And finally, he took us there. And Hilltop, way in tiny letters above the words Hilltop, it says Frank Jafrida's Hilltop Steakhouse.
It's right there on the iconic cactus.
Right. So yeah. Frank Jafrida was the original owner of Hilltop. He opened the restaurant in 1961.
We had to agree that Jafrida's was just as good as Hilltop.
And he died in 2004. And the question is, what happens to the next generation? Are they able to renew it and appeal to their peers and keep it going for the next generations?
And Corby, you know, not to malign a restaurant on its way out, but, you know, was the food any good? I mean, I read today that in a single week, that restaurant often went through 20,000 pounds of beef, 17,000 pounds of potatoes, 3 million doggy bags. Was it good? Or is that so subjective that
so
it's hard to say?
So the steak tips were perfectly fine. I wouldn't have had, we tried sirloin, I think. I can't remember what the other cuts were, but we tried the other cuts and they were very run of the mill. What you were getting was a lot of meat for not much money. The idea was a bargain and very big portions. I don't think places like that survive on particularly the goodness or badness of their food. It's whether they can please enough people and keep large parties coming in. The side dishes, though, I have to say, weren't particularly good.
We have another caller. This is Daniel calling from Danvers. And hi, Daniel. Thanks for giving a call.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. So what are your memories of Hilltop?
Well, I'm a bit younger. I'm only 26. So for me, my memories of Hilltop were that it was always my family's birthday restaurant. Growing up in Everett, we would always drive up, and it would kind of be a big adventure to go up to Saugus and go out for our birthday dinners. But what I always remember is the fact that when we would go, there would be a line that stretched out the door, down the hallway, and around the corner, and they had this big enclosed hallway that you stared at all the cows while you were waiting for your food.
Thank you for reminding me of that hallway. That's right. They knew how to manage crowds.
In fact, Daniel, I read today, Daniel, that routinely when the restaurant was at its height, they had two-hour waits for a table. So it sounds like you experienced that.
Easily 2 hours. And it was funny because we knew we were going out for somebody's birthday or maybe my own, and we'd still be miserable as kids waiting in line until we actually got inside and the carved Indian and cowboys would distract us until they actually called us to our table and we'd sit down and have a wonderful meal.
That's wonderful. Another caller. This is Dan calling from Marshfield. Hi, Dan.
Hi, how are you? I'm in shock in my car that Hilltop's closing. I can't believe it.
Oh, that. You're just learning that news.
That's the first I heard of it. And the memories of the Hilltop go back, for me, a little bit over 40 years. The Hilltop was, I grew up in Arlington, Somerville. The Hilltop was the place to go on holidays and special occasions. Mother's Day, you couldn't get near that, and you knew it. You went there, and there was the two-hour wait. That was just part of the experience, and it was incredible. The other thing that jumps out at me, I remember clearly, is a little bit later down the road when I got married, they opened a butcher shop.
Ah, yes.
And you could buy a sirloin strip there. You could buy huge bags of their sirloin tips. And it was unbelievable. And you would go and you'd pick up this whole strip and they'd cut it up for you and they'd bag it. And by then we had moved down to the South Shore, down here to Scituate Marshfield. And we would drive, you know, every couple of weeks we would drive up to Saugus to go to the butcher shop.
And Dan, we should note the good news is that butcher shop is staying open.
In Weymouth. I'm not sure that the one at Saugus is, but they have another one in Weymouth that's opening.
Corby, in 15 seconds, if you can sum this up in the little time we have left, what is lost, if anything, when a place like Hilltop goes away?
What's lost is a place where families can call in and say, this is where my grandparents took me. This is part of my family's memory. And what we didn't ask because we're celebrating the legacy is, when's the last time you went there?
That's another topic for another show. That's Corby Kummer. He's a food writer, a James Beard Award-winning food writer, and a senior editor at The Atlantic. Corby, thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
And that's it for today. By the way, Kimberly Colvin writes on Facebook, that cactus would look stunning in my living room if her living room is an airplane hangar. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. This is Radio Boston. Join us again Monday.